Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on understanding RBI's key policy rate cuts impact on economy. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lekh, anchor.
Welcome to Spotlight. We're delighted to have with us Sharad Kohli, a distinguished economic expert, to help us unravel one of the most significant developments in India's financial landscape, the Reserve Bank of India's recent key policy rate cuts. Today, we'll dive deep into the motivations behind the RBI's actions, explore the immediate and long-term impacts on the Indian economy, and discuss what this means for various stakeholders. Thank you, Sharad, for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Rajesh.
My first question to you would be, Sharad, what factors prompted the RBI to implement a larger than expected 50 BPS rate cut, and how does this align with India's current macroeconomic priorities?
Well, personally speaking, I was expecting, a lot of people took it as a surprise, but when I was asked on a lot of platforms over the last few days that what are you anticipating, I did say 50 basis points can come. So personally, I wasn't too surprised. The answer is very simple, because inflation is one of the direct components of decision making, which happens, which you keep in mind while taking the decision as far as the MPC is concerned. And I think 3.16% of inflation on a declining scale over the last few months, we've seen inflation consecutively coming down. In fact, for the month of May, we are anticipating even inflation of CPI of below 3%. So I think with inflation being that much, we all know that repo rate is a tool through which RBI regulates or does a trade-off between inflation and growth. So some of the sectors of the economy were probably experiencing a bit of a moderation. I won't call it as a slowdown, but a bit of a moderation. We've seen 8% plus growth in the time which has gone by. And although March quarter threw up a very good rate of 7.4%, but then overall annual rate was 6.5%. So I think probably the Monetary Committee felt that some of the sectors probably are moderating. So that was one reason. Second reason was that globally speaking, if you people who heard the announcements made by the Honorable Governor, Mr. Sanjay Malhotra, he repeatedly referred and he said global uncertainty. I think that was counting on the mind. The geoeconomic and the geopolitical factors, I think they were dominating his mind, because everything is hunky-dory as far as India is concerned. All our economic parameters, which he spoke of, expected inflation 3.7%, expected economic growth 6.5%, our forex reserves of $691 billion, lot of other economic parameters, they are all doing very well. But we are a part of one global family. So some of the family members maybe at this time may not be keeping as well as we are keeping. And so as a family, you have to discount the fact that if someone else is not feeling too well, you can't be expecting yourself to be in the top of your spirits at all times. That probably counted on his mind. So he anticipated that these geoeconomic and geopolitical factors may provide headwinds to the growth. So he used a very interesting term. He said, we are front loading. Now, for the Akashvani listeners who do not understand what is front loading in this scenario, that is when you have to do a staggered rate cut over the next 3 or 4 Monetary Policy Committee meetings. What you do is you provide a booster. And in the very first or the second one, you do a bumper cut, which is a bigger cut. That is called front loading. He also used a very interesting term, Rajesh, which a lot of people must have missed. He said two things. He said that you should not feel that I have too much of weaponry left in my armor now, which means front loaded. He's probably put the best foot forward at this point of time, which means we should not expect larger or deeper cuts in the times to come. That's one. Second interesting thing which he said was that we are shifting the stance. In fact, this was related to the first one. We are shifting the stance from accommodative. Now, what does this mean? This means that when you're accommodative, you are trying to propel growth in view of a falling inflation. But when you move to neutral, when you're on neutral, it means that I can go up, I can go down as well. You are at a point where, depending upon how the situation emerges, I might decide to probably increase also. So this is very important. A lot of people miss that. So although we are expecting, the situation within our country is very favorable, we are expecting another 1 or 2 25 basis points. So it might go down up to 5%. We know we've come down from 6% to 5.5%. So those were the factors which contributed. Now let's look at the other side of the table.
What you just mentioned, the last point about shift from accommodative to neutral stance, does it reflect the RBI's balancing act between growth support and inflation risk?
I said that because I use the word trade-off. You're saying balancing. So I was a little more casual in my expression that it's always a trade-off between growth and inflation. And by the way, when you have a choice, as an economist, I can say, when there's a choice between picking up growth or inflation, what is in a serious condition, I'll first pick inflation. And I'll have to make sure that my inflation is under control because that affects the common man. And when inflation is under control, we let the engines fire for that matter. Now, if you allow me, I can go to the other side of the table, that what will be the repercussions, what will be the ramifications of this decision? As far as the banks are concerned, I think banks will have to lower their lending rates now. We all know that lending income is banks' revenue. We all know that interest being paid to depositors is banks' expense. So bank will probably lose on revenue now. Their revenue is going to fall. To offset that, there's something called NIM. It's called the net interest margin. Whenever we measure banks' income, we use the term NIM. We don't use the term profit. I mean, that's a common man's term. That's in common parlance. But then the technical term is called NIM. So to let not the NIM be impacted by this decision, what he's done is he's cut down the CRR, which is called the cash reserve ratio, by 100 basis points. This means you will have abundance of liquidity to the tune of 2.5 lakh crores. So you have a double bonanza now. One is where on one side, as far as the consumers are concerned, on one side, you will have cheaper money. You'll have your EMIs are going to go down. You might have taken a car loan. You might have taken a housing loan. You might have taken an education loan. You might have taken a, they say people even borrow for holidays. You may have taken a loan of any kind. Be prepared for good times. Your EMIs are going to go down. On the other hand, getting a loan, you know, when the money supply is tight, sometimes the lending institutions, they don't release the money as easily as one would have imagined. I think that is also going to be easy. So there's a double bonanza, as I said. One, a cheaper money, and of course, easier money. So that is going to be the thing. I think this is one of the, from a consumer perspective, from a common man's perspective, one of the best policies of the recent times, because on both ends, he's helped the bankers, because for the people who do not understand what is a CRR, a cash reserve ratio, this is the minimum amount which any bank has to keep with Reserve Bank of India. By the way, this amount is kept interest-free. There's no interest which RBI gives on this money. So this is to regulate the money supply. So RBI has let its purses go loose, so bankers can use more of that CRR and they can lend more. So the banker's benefit is through CRR cut, people's benefit through the repo rate cut. And you will start seeing that in the times to come. And Rajesh, by the way, a lot of people wonder that what happens to deposits. We've got a big retired population who depend on bank fixed deposits and savings account interest. In fact, I know a lot of retired people who've got a very sizable deposit for their lifetime earnings, and they depend on the interest which they annually. So they should be prepared for the interest rate cut on deposits also, because it's not possible that the bankers cut the lending rate but let the deposits rates be high. It'll totally cause mayhem in their balance sheets. So I think we should be prepared for the times of lower deposit rates and lower lending rates. But I think on a platform like Akashvani, there's so many programs which tell you about alternate means of investments where you need not solely depend on bank deposits for that matter.
We talked about the CPI inflation projected at 3.7% for FY26. Now, does this signal a structural decline or a temporary reprieve driven by food prices?
No, if you've noticed, food prices always a challenge for Reserve Bank of India on a lot of other MPC meeting announcements. In fact, the word used for food inflation was stubborn. That doesn't seem to be coming down. It's monsoons, it's logistic issues, it's loss of crops. There were so many issues. There are supply chain issues. So some of the other issue was constantly plaguing food supplies and leading to food inflation. I think this is a structural change because we are through with, although the monsoons are around the corner, so we need to keep an eye if the monsoons turn out to be a bit mischievous, then we can again expect some disruptions in supply. But as of now, I feel it's been a very gradual decline. I must say here with a lot of strength that gradual decline in inflation is very healthy. So inflation projection of 3.7%, I think, is another great news for the consumers.
Despite the rate cuts, GDP growth remains at 6.5%. You mentioned that a while back for FY26. Are monetary measures insufficient to revive growth, or are external factors like you mentioned, global tariffs, monsoon risks, overshadowing domestic efforts?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. Reserve Bank of India monetary policy does play a role in that, what you said. But it's got this limited tool in hand. But yes, as you rightly said, there are so many factors which impact a country's GDP growth. There are fiscal reasons. There are geoeconomic reasons. Tariff war going on around the world. New announcements from President Trump every other day. And the geopolitical situation, why forget that? We find aggravated Russia-Ukraine crisis. We find aggravation on the West Asia front also. We also find tensions building up here and there around the world. So I think those factors, they constantly count on the mind. But RBI as an institution has got that tool in hand, which I think it has used very, very aptly over the last few years.
Now, coming to the bond yields, they fell post the announcement, but equities also dipped. Now, given this scenario, this divergence, what does it reveal about market expectations for long-term growth versus short-term gains?
I think markets, yesterday when they closed after the announcement, they celebrated. We saw almost a 1% increase in the Nifty, the Sensex, the Bank Nifty. The banks were celebrating. All the consumer stocks were celebrating. FMCG stocks were celebrating. So I think for the markets, prospects are good. But market, we can look at it from two angles. So there's a domestic angle, good monsoons, good RBI policy, good budget. All three factors and a very, very good cash collection with the domestic institutional investors. I think these factors will not let the market fall down too deeply. As far as Indian aspect is concerned, then there is the global aspect. The global aspects are such that they do cause pressure at times because we've got very little control over what's happening globally. We can control our domestic factors, but we've got little or no control over the international factors for that matter, Rajesh.
While back you mentioned front loading, and I'm going to be asking you something about the front loading bit of it. Could the front loading strategy risk overheating the economy if global commodity prices rebound sharply?
Not at the moment, at least, because the way global scenario is looking like, and which is why. So the answer to your question is hidden in your question itself. When we move from the accommodative to neutral stance, this is why he said, I am moving from accommodative to neutral, because from here on, if there is anything which is causing headwinds, if there's anything which is contrary to the imagination, then we will not hesitate in going back to the changing the stance or changing the gear, shall I say. So I think it is for the same reason which you mentioned. He's taken precaution and he's taken a preemptive decision to move it to neutral. So from here, it can go either way. Although with other things remaining constant, I am expecting at least 25 basis points, a successive rate cut in the month of August when the next MPC happens.
Yeah, another comment which has come to my mind is about the limited room for further cuts. What non-monetary measures could complement RBI actions to sustain growth?
I think the government of India over the last 11 years have taken numerous measures, Rajesh. I mean, there's so much which has been done on the economy. And I think when it comes to government front loading, the infrastructure spending, which we are seeing, we saw the Prime Minister inaugurating a world's tallest bridge yesterday, 40,000 crores. I mean, every other day we find Prime Minister in some of the other state inaugurating massive projects. So these, you know, infrastructure investment has got a multiplier effect. Every 1 rupee spent has got an 8 times multiplier effect. So I think Government of India from its end has done the best it could have been. We saw that. I mean, we saw from 67 years, we moved to $2 trillion. Mm. And in 11 years, we double that. So something good must have been done. There's a long list of fiscal measures. I think at the rest of the show may probably get burnt, or we're probably just running out of time. I can see the clock in front of me. So I think we can discuss about it another time, but plenty of fiscal measures. So it's been complementing, you know, RBI on one side and Government of India on the other side, which is why we are where we are.
On that positive note, Sharad, thank you for being with Akashvani.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on Understanding RBI's Key Policy Rate Cuts, Impact on Economy. The participants were Sharad Kohli, Economic Analyst, and Rajesh Lek, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92890-94044.
Spotlight.